Pacific 92 East Coast Radio.
It's our favorite Monday phone call. We've got Dr. Wendy Dlomo on the line. Good afternoon, Dr. Wendy.
Good afternoon, and good afternoon to your listeners as well.
As always, thank you for sharing your knowledge and insights with us. And today we want to talk about sleep deprivation. Now, there's a word for sleep deprivation. What is that word?
So actually, it's not the same thing. I think you're looking for insomnia.
Yes, insomnia.
So there is a big difference between the two. So sleep deprivation is usually, there's another word for it, which is behaviorally induced insufficient sleep syndrome. So this is somebody who has no opportunity to get a satisfying sleep. Whereas insomnia, you've got enough opportunity to fall asleep, but you just can't. Sleep deprivation, there's usually external factors, which could be occupational. Like, for instance, doctors. We get woken up anytime in the evening for emergencies, things like that. So those people are sleep deprived. There is no opportunity. It's not that they can't fall asleep. Whereas the person with insomnia, it's more on the sleep disorders.
So environmental factors affect someone who has insufficient sleep syndrome. What about maybe your mental health? Does that influence someone that has insufficient sleep syndrome? Or is that more for people who have insomnia?
So those people would most likely have insomnia. So let me just quickly round off the sleep deprivation. Sometimes with sleep deprivation, it's also behavioral issues where you are prioritizing certain pleasurable activities.
So it's your actions.
A lot of it. Some it's action. Some it's imposed based on your work, you know, where you're doing a lot more night shifts and things like that, very long hours. Whereas with the insomnia, there usually are many other causes. So stress would be one of them. Mental illness would be some of the causes. So when you're seeing a patient who has issues with sleep, you've got to take an adequate history and basically see what are the factors that are contributing to the sleep. And obviously, if there's a medical disorder that is underlying, that is what you will target, and then the sleep will improve.
So those are the therapies or the treatments suggested for sleep deprivation. Basically, Dr. Wendy, we must start acting right. I mustn't sit up all night watching Netflix.
Definitely, that would be sleep deprivation, and there are serious effects of that. Before I get to the therapies and what we can do, but if you look at what's the impact of not having adequate sleep, in the short-term effect would be, for instance, daytime sleepiness, cognitive impairment, because during sleep, that's when we back up our system, you know, whatever you've learned, that's where information gets to be stored, the short-term, long-term memory, and then there's also issues of safety, accidents, and things like that. And another thing, it's also not being able to have good judgment, you know. Yeah.
So, Dr. Wendy, that's how our physical health is affected.
That's in the short term. In the long term, it could also lead to obesity, because when you are cranky, you're going to want to eat more sweets and starch. Mm. There's not enough time to exercise. There's a ripple effect. Eventually, you get type 2 diabetes and so forth. So there are all the other long-term effects from lack of sleep. So self-care would be one of the first things that one would recommend.
Wow. I love self-care. I'm an advocate for self-care. But Dr. Wendy, when you say self-care, you don't necessarily mean, oh, you know, have a tub bath. It's a lot more than that. It's about respecting yourself enough to actually, you know what, it's time to go to bed because I need to be alert tomorrow. I need to be able to be present.
Exactly. Mm. Prioritizing your sleep. There is then also sleep habits where you have to try and go to sleep at the same time every day. Try and wake up at the same time. Just a bit of routine. Avoid using the bedroom for things like watching TV, listening to music.
Dr. Wendy, and I understand you're talking about sleep hygiene and you say don't use the bedroom for things that aren't meant for sleep. But what if music calms me down and I want to listen to some music because it helps me sleep?
That's where you need the sleep specialist to basically recommend. Calming music, yes, but then remember that background noise, your brain is not fully shut down, if I were to say. Because there are stages of sleep. There's one up to five. So having that music in the background, because you're not going to wake up now and switch it off. You're keeping your brains awake at the same time. So music, I wouldn't really recommend. Maybe reading is a little bit better. Some people will find that when they read and then they slowly drift off.
Because they get bored by the reading.
It could be that as well. Small little things. Yeah. Light in the bedroom. Keeping the temperature of the bedroom optimal. So those are some of the sleep hygiene. So there's many things. And then, of course, there's medication, which have a downside as well.
Yeah, because sleeping pills shouldn't be the first thing you go to rely on sleep.
It's the last thing, and that has to be prescribed by a doctor or even a psychologist after they have seen you and gone through what we call cognitive behavioral therapy.
Dr. Wendy, I want to know, is there such a thing as maybe too much sleep? Does the amount of sleep we all need differ depending on who we are?
The rule of thumb is 7 to 9 hours, but I would be hard-pressed to get many people who get in 9 hours of sleep in
yes.
a day. So some people will function with 6 hours, but I would say nothing less than 5 hours, definitely.
And no such thing as too much sleep?
You can get headaches from
yes.
sleeping way, way, way too much. And there, with too much sleepiness, you've got to be careful that the person is not depressed.
Dr. Wendy, I always notice, like, for instance, my grandmom or my mom, they can survive on very little sleep. I honestly believe that the older you get, the less sleep you need.
Most of them, they do also tend to go to sleep quite early. That's another thing. So obviously, the earlier you sleep, the earlier you will rise. But yes, it does change, especially after the age of 65. And then you also have other underlying medical conditions like your Alzheimer's, like your dementia. Patients with dementia, what happens is that towards the morning, they will wake up, maybe start talking, you know, and things like that.
So is it a bad thing if you wake up early?
It's not a bad thing if you wake up early and everything that you say is lucid. It's a problem if you wake up very early and you start talking to yourself.
As always, Dr. Wendy, we appreciate your insights, and it's awesome to start a Monday off learning something new about sleep deprivation. I learned today that sleep deprivation and insomnia are two different things. So we appreciate your time and we look forward to having you on our next episode of Doctor's Orders.
Pleasure. Thank you for having me. Go.
Vic Naidoo, weekdays 1 to 4 p.m. East Coast Radio.